started.
It's okay. A lot of us are technically challenged. We're getting there, though. Yahweh is definitely showing us. That's the thing about kids. Our kids are so gifted. They can do things that we, you know, we don't understand. And they teach us. We can learn some technology from them. Because we do stupid things with our smartphones, you might say. Okay. I've entitled the message, You Who Are Spiritual. That's the title of the message, You Who Are Spiritual. And this message is to those who are spiritual. Because those who are not spiritual won't understand. And that's one of the things that Yahshua brought forth on a regular basis. He taught in parables. And he taught in parables for a reason so that those who are spiritual would understand. And those who are not would not. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you. But insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering, and that's what happens when we enter into Yahshua's world, we enter into his suffering. We are baptized into his death. We are taking on the same things that Yahshua took on. People don't realize that. When you become a part of Yahshua's ministry, you're signing your death warrant. Okay? You're telling the world that you are his people. Therefore, if we're walking his footsteps and we're walking in truth, we're going to accept the same things that he received from the world. Okay? The difference is this. Yahshua, Father, our Father in heaven, Yahweh, can protect us. He can keep us. If it's for us to suffer, we'll suffer for his sake. If we're to be martyred, we'll be martyred for his sake. But the fiery trial that's coming upon us in these last days, brethren, are to purify us, to get us ready to become his servants and his kingdom. I actually could have made this one of the part of the series that I'm doing on 144,000. That's what I'm preaching as I go to each of these different cities. I'm preaching a segment of what it takes to be a part of the 144,000. So if you haven't heard, you can go to our website, and the sermons are there, and the newer ones will be there after I finish the trip. They'll upload them. Remember, this is about you who are spiritual. Because you entered into Yahshua's baptism, it made you separate from the world. We don't do the things that the world does anymore. We see things differently. It says, but insomuch as you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering, rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed. Okay? We know that name is Yahshua. It's not the name Jesus. It's not the name Buddha. It's not Hare Krishna or any of these other names. It's Yahshua. If you're reproached for the name Yahshua, you are blessed because the glorious Spirit of Yahweh rests upon you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if it begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, that means that you just make it. If the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? They won't. They're not going to. Therefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of Yahweh commit their souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator. You who are spiritual, follow the Messiah. Follow Yahshua. And 1 Peter, if you'll turn over there, chapter 2, I'm going to look at verses 13 on down to the end of the chapter. It says, be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake. Okay? This is talking about the law of man. It's not talking about the law of Yahweh. It says, be subject to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake. Yahweh sets the governments up. He allows them to do their thing, you might say. Now, we might not agree with all of the speeding traffic signs, but it tells us that we're supposed to observe them, okay? And I'm not saying that I do, okay? I do speed from time to time, even though I know I'm not supposed to. I try to keep it. I think it's Toronto. They said they have signs up saying $10,000 speeding. I think that solves the problem, you know, for a lot of people. They don't want to get caught. If you get a fine of $10,000, you don't want to do anything like that. You know, they're very strict. They're serious. I mean, when I was up there, I didn't see that, and I hope I wasn't speeding. I didn't get pulled over, so. But Yahweh wants us to be diligent servants. He wants us to keep the law, okay? Now, when the law of man conflicts with the law of Yahweh, then we become outlawed. And the reason I'm saying it, not because I'm here and I know Jesse James was here in Missouri, is that we have to keep Yahweh's commandments first and foremost. Like I said, He ordained these governments of the world, okay? He sent Judah in the Babylonian captivity. He gave the power to Nebuchadnezzar to do this, because Judah had sinned against him. So what happened? When Nebuchadnezzar set up this image of gold, his people wouldn't bow down to it because it was idolatry. It violated Yahweh's command. So we know where the separation is. But when like I said, they put a sign up saying speed limit 35 or school zone 15 miles an hour because there's a school there, we have to obey. See, so we can differentiate between the righteous laws of man and the righteous laws of Yahweh. Because, you know, sometimes man can make laws that will benefit, you know, each of us. But the point I'm trying to make here is it says whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent by him for vengeance on evildoers and for praise to them to do well. The problem with man is that sometimes we forget that Yahweh is the one that has given us the authority to be in whatever position. A righteous king is a wonderful thing. We in America don't know much about kings because we don't have royalty. Our royalty are our presidents, and we don't treat them like that, but I don't even want to say it because our politicians are not... Most of them do not live in a way that we hold them on high esteem. Yet we're told to pray for our leaders. So we have to do that, regardless of whether they're good or bad. We're supposed to pray for them. That's what the scriptures teach. Okay? But, saying all that, we still know what's right and what's wrong. And when they're doing things that are wrong, we're supposed to acknowledge it, okay? But we go to Yahweh, because Yahweh's the one that allows it for His purpose. We don't know what Yahweh's plan for, you know, whatever country. And I can give you a history lesson, which my wife over here for. But, you know, I can teach the Bible I can teach history from the Bible because Yahweh has set up government to take over government for Israel's sake. He set up the Assyrians, sent Jonah to Assyria so that Jonah would tell them, hey, Yahweh wants you, here's a job for you to do. You need to straighten up or you're going to be destroyed. What happened? They straightened up. These were a Gentile pagan nation. They weren't Israel. But they changed their ways to serve Yahweh. Now, after they got to a point where they went overboard, because they did take the 10 northern tribes into captivity, Yahweh used them for that purpose. Okay? But then they got bold. See? And they went beyond. And they came after Judah. And it wasn't for them to do that. Yahweh hadn't prepared them for Judah. See? And what happened? Hezekiah went to Yahweh in prayer and asked Yahweh to save his people. And he did. When they went out, the Assyrian soldiers dead. Israel didn't have to lift their hand for Judah to fight them. Okay? Yahweh's in control, brethren. And we, who are spiritual, will be able to see that and see his hand in our life and everything that we do. And this is what we want. We want Yahweh to bless what we do. And that's why if we keep his covenant and do the things that he asks us to do, he's going to bless our lives. He's going to guide us. He's going to lift us up as we lift each other up in prayer. In verse 15 it says, for so is the will of Yahweh, that by well-doing you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your freedom for a cloak of maliciousness, but as bondservants of Yahweh. We're slaves to Yahweh because we were created for the praise of Yahweh. That's the reason we were created. And see, what happens is that as slaves of Yahweh, people forget where they come from and why they were created. So what happens? Satan talks into our ear and says, hey, you're independent. You don't have to. You don't have to do it. You can do your own thing. You can do this. You can do that. And man became very independent. He rejected Yahweh. See? If we're dependent on Yahweh, we're blessed. And those who are spiritual can see it. They can understand what Yahweh has set up for them. He's not going to give as he had Adam and Eve in the garden. They had a right to the tree of life. They could have eaten the tree of life and lived forever. But they chose to disobey. And this is what human nature does. Satan whispers in your ear. He wants you to do contrary to what Yahweh is telling you to do. And we know that as kids, right? Our parents tell us, don't do thus and so. And what we do thus and so. And you know why we do it? Because we're rebellious. And we're rebellious is because, you know, we want to know everything. We want to see everything. We want to touch, smell, taste everything. But Yahweh has given us parameters. He's told us he wants a holy people. And for us to be that holy people, we have to follow him and be a spiritual people. If we violate his covenant, okay? And we know that we're not supposed to go out and eat pork, and we do it. What happens? We're going to curse ourselves. We're going to curse ourselves. We curse our blessing. And all we have to do is follow him, and we will receive the blessing and that high calling, which Yahshua is going to call when he returns. He's going to call, get that high calling for us to come up here. But we're not going to be able to rise and meet him in the air unless we are a spiritual people. It says, honor all men, verse 17. Love the brotherhood, fear Yahweh, and honor the king. And Yahweh is the king. And what does fearing Yahweh mean? That means we're going to keep his covenant law. Verse 18, servants, be in subjection to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. those that are hard masters. For this is acceptable if for conscience toward Yahweh a man endures grief, suffering wrongfully. But what glory is it if when you sin you are buffeted? You shall take it patiently. If we violate the covenant, yes, we should accept the correction. It's very hard for people to do that. But you know what? If we do it, we'll be blessed because we deserve that punishment. But if when you do well, if you're keeping the covenant and you find yourself being buffeted, what are we supposed to do? And suffer. You shall take it patiently. This is acceptable with Yahweh. See? And that's what Yahshua did. He took the punishment for each and every one of us. And he took it patiently. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, send down fire from heaven and consume them because they are persecuting me. He didn't. Out of love, he said, because he was spiritual, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And truly, when we're in sin, we don't know what we're doing. We're blinded. That's why David needed Nathan to open his eyes. Did David not know the law? Absolutely. All the kings of Israel had to write it. They knew it, just like the scribes and the Pharisees. They knew every yod, every tittle to the law. But they also knew, like most lawyers, how to skirt it. You know, well, I'll just do it this way. There's a gray area here. I'll go around this way. See? But that's not what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to be a spiritual people. He wants us to uphold the covenant. It says in verse 21, for to this were you called, because the Messiah also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And that's Yahweh, his Father. And that's the same thing that we have to do. Who, his own self, bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. We need to follow Yahshua, brethren, in everything we do, because he gave us a perfect example. If we fall, we do have his blood cleansing, lift us up. That's the difference. A righteous man falls seven times and rises yet again. That's what we have to concentrate on. Not the falling, but the getting up. John chapter 6. We'll start in verse 41. John 6:41. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. And they said, is not this Yahshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. I just held services at our family reunion in Columbia, South Carolina. Probably 100 people there. Only a couple showed up for service. Okay? And the one of the two that showed up, one was my mom. She loves me. But my cousin from Rochester, New York. And I witnessed to him before, and they have a church there, and you know they're involved with some Messianic rabbi up in Rochester. And he asked And he asked a few questions, and he wanted to know about our ministry and what was going on. And he came, and he says, you know what? If the rest of them would have came, they would have really enjoyed themselves. I said, you know what? I'm just Greg. I'm Cindy's son, and they know me as one of their relatives. They don't see me as a preacher. They don't see me, even though we have many preachers in the family, but because I'm not a Christian preacher, I don't get the respect that the rest of them get. See? But it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about the word of Yahweh. That's what's important. And so when he heard me preach at the end, then he was just, you know, praising Yahweh, saying, you know, I wish everybody would come. And I feel like it was conflicting because they had scheduled the cookout at the same time. See, they have Sunday services. We have Sabbath services. I said, but I got something for them. So what happened was that when we had the banquet that night, you know, they asked about the next family reunion. Every other one is in South Carolina since that's where our family's from. But the odd years, it goes somewhere else, and guess where it's going to be? Pennsylvania. With us. Services are going to be on Sabbath. Everybody's going to be there. So Yahweh set it up, and guess what? Nobody else, no opposition, nobody wanted it. So we're going to have it in Pennsylvania, and hopefully my whole family will come, and they'll get to hear the word of Yahweh. And I know several of them have joined us on our call in the past. My parents always, when they come visit, they come for services. But I want them to understand that we don't have but a very short period of time before the Oscar returns. And I know we hear this often. I've heard this 3 years ago. But really, when you look at time, we really have a short period of time. You know, every day is a day closer to Yahshua returning. So we have to prepare ourselves. And more spiritual.
Hello? Hello?
Yes, we're here. We're holding services. Somebody just joined us.
Conference muted.
Thank you.
Conference muted.
All right. Let's see, back to where I was. They did not respect Yahshua because they knew Yahshua, you know. And one of the things about Capernaum, one of the things about, you know, Galilee, you had all these people who knew the carpenter's son. This is the carpenter. You know, we know his family. They didn't respect him because of that. Yet it's the words of Yahweh that they should have received and respected and understood. And this is what we have to do when we preach the word of Yahweh. You know, I don't care who you are. If Yahweh touches you and raises you up and says, hey, I'm going to use you, you know, you're my prophet. I'm using you. You're going to preach the word. I don't care what you've done in your life. He's going to touch you with his Holy Spirit, and you're going to be his vessel. And that's what we are. We're vessels of Almighty Yahweh's Holy Spirit. And it's up to us who are spiritual to take this to the world. To inspire the world to turn to Yahshua, because they don't know that they don't know until they hear the word preached, and it causes them to think, well, you know what? There's something different about that man, the way he speaks, the way he carries himself. There's something about that lady. Just that song that the girl sang today, that was beautiful. Praise Yahweh. I wish the world could hear that. See, that's something that needs to go out. You know, and if they hear it, they might, you know, okay. It might direct them or change them. Just one little thing. It can only be one thing that can change them, and that's Yahweh touching their life at that time. And like I said, it doesn't have to be me, the Aaron, Marilyn, until any of us can touch anybody at any time. But it's up to Yahweh to put us in those positions. Therefore, you know when someone asks you of the hope that's within you, then that's when you're going to respond. See? You're going to respond. And that's what Yahshua did. Verse 42, it says, and they said, is not this Yahshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Yahshua answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him. And I will raise him up in the last day. And they shall all be taught of Yahweh, every one that has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. So it's a process. You have to be called. See, many are called. And they said, few are chosen, but we do the choosing. It's not Yahweh choosing, it's us. We reject him when we go away. If we accept and do the will of Yahweh, we have been chosen. We selected ourselves to follow. See? So we're the ones that cut ourselves off. We have to be faithful in everything we do. In verse 46, it says, not that any man has seen the Father except he that is from Yahweh, he has seen the Father. In other words, Yahshua is the only one that has seen Yahweh. That's what he's saying. Then who did Moses see in the Old Testament? That's right. He saw Yahshua, the one that created all things. And people have a hard time understanding that because they haven't been directed or taught in that direction. Absolutely. And their eyes have to be opened. And you who are spiritual can see it. But there are people walking around us and among us that will not be able to understand. They won't be able to hear. Like the scribes and Pharisees and those that wanted to stop their ears when they were going to kill Stephen because they didn't want to hear it. See? Their heart was motivated by Satan the devil. It wasn't Yahweh. Yahweh allowed it. But Stephen was killed because he was a righteous individual. And he's going to be blessed from on high. Verse 47, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yes, and the bread which I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled one with another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Yahshua therefore said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have not life in yourselves. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They didn't understand it, even though they had been keeping the Passover, I'm sure, all their lives. They still did not understand it. See, because this was something new. This is something different. For my flesh is true meat indeed, and my blood is true drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he that eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he that eats this bread shall live forever. They're probably thinking, what is this crazy man talking about? Eating his body and drinking his blood? Think about it. Put yourself in their place. They're hearing this from somebody that they know. So, I mean, if it was one of us, think about it. How would we react? So you have to be able to put yourself in their place and see why they were so skeptical. See? The problem was they did not know Yahweh. They did not know Yahweh. Yet these are the religious establishment. These are the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were the religious establishment. They were the authority, and they did not know Yahweh. Through Yahshua the Messiah, many of the Pharisees believed on Yahshua. They were convicted. See, when John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing, Yahshua asked, John questioned, why were they there when they all came out to see him? He called them vipers. Why are you here? He knew that they were not seeking Yahshua. They were not seeking Almighty Yahweh. They were just there to see what was going on. They were not those that were spiritual. Those who were spiritual were those that were hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And they were there to receive the spiritual bread from heaven and the spiritual blood. Verse 58 says, this is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He that eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And Capernaum was his home synagogue, in Galilee. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? But Yahshua, knowing in himself that his disciples murmured at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? That's going to blow your mind if you see me ascending. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who it was that should betray him. And he said, for this cause have I said to you that no man can come to me unless it is given to him of the Father. Yahshua has given it to us to be a part of his ministry, to be a part of his people. We have accepted the blood of Yahshua the Messiah, you who are spiritual. Verse 66, upon this, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. They couldn't cut it because they couldn't see it. Yahshua therefore said therefore to the 12, would you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, teacher, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and know that you are the Holy One of Israel, Holy One of Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, did not I choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? Now he spoke of Judah, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Don't you think that Judah could have changed? He did later, after he had received the 30 pieces of silver and went back and told the authorities, I've betrayed innocent blood. He could have repented before. See, he could have made himself one of the children, but he went in a different direction. And he did repent, went out and hung himself. But the thing is, we have that opportunity, and it's always a door there. always an opportunity right before us. The question is, are we going to do the right thing and go in the right direction at the right time? In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There is no temptation taking you but such as man can bear. But Yahweh is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, make also a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." So he gives each and every one of us that opportunity to escape. And each one of us that is spiritual will have that opportunity. Satan comes. But if we love one another, we will not do the thing to hurt or destroy one another. And that's what Yahshua's looking for. He's looking for a people who love each other. When he returns, that's what he's looking for, the faith. Those who love one another. Because the love of the many will grow cold, as it says in Matthew 24. What's going to happen is that people are going to turn on one another. And they're going to rat out this brother to the authorities, or that brother, or that sister. I was telling some people a while back about some friends that I have from Christians who I know for a fact, if I needed to be hidden, that they would hide me. See? They're decent people. Now, trying to get them to accept this and see this, I've been doing it for years, and they're not there yet. And I'm hoping and praying that Yahweh will touch their heart and cause them to see this. But they know how to treat people. So sometimes we can learn things from, you know, our pagan neighbors. And Yahweh wants us to truly understand that that love has to be there for us to be his people. If we don't love each other, if we don't love our neighbor, even our enemy who we can see, we don't know Yahweh, who we cannot see, as it says in 1 John. See, that's the key. That's what's going to get us there. Love. One for another. And that is something that Yahshua showed us in his life. Proverbs chapter 25. Verse 21. And verse 22, it says, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat." What's the true bread? Yahshua. Didn't he say, "My body is bread, food"? If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. Teach him about Yahshua. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And the water of life flows freely from Yahshua. For you will heap coals of fire upon his head, and Yahweh will reward you because you're doing your duty to save his life. Proverbs 26, verse 19. "So is the man that deceives his neighbor and says, 'Am not I in sport?' For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whisper, contention ceases. As coals are to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to inflame strife. The words of a whisperer are as dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts. Even fervent lips and a wicked heart are like an earthen vessel overlaid with silver dross. He that hates dissembles with his lips." They're going to whisper. They're going to try to divide you. That's what Satan does. We know, you know, his ploy. We know how he works. He's going to come in through the tongue. He's going to come in and try to divide family. He's going to try to divide brethren. He's going to try to destroy your worship. We already know this. We have to be prepared. We know it's going to happen. And you're going to get false doctrine. People come in trying to divide you with that. You have to be ready and have Yahshua there because he'll stop him at the door. I had that happen one day. I was in Nashville holding Passover services, and a man comes in with his entourage. He just, you know, just slips in like he has this cape. He didn't have a cape, but it's like, you know, him and his group just come in, and he wanted to partake of the service. He didn't have a problem with him partaking, you know, the Passover with us. He was baptized, and he met the requirements, but he wanted to officiate. He wanted to run things. And I explained to him that we don't have that custom. We have it already set up. There's no problem with people joining, but we already have things set up. Do you know who I am? I said, no. You know, he was basically telling us that he was the Messiah. And with that, we showed him the door.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that if Yahshua walked in and said, I'm the Messiah, we would not accept him. You understand? This person, or personality, because it may have been a bunch of them in there. You know, you never know how many. Him and his entourage left. And you could feel a cool breeze in the room. And the young man that was with me, helping to officiate, he just shook his head. He said, I've never seen anything like that. He couldn't believe it. I said, yes, you'll see even greater things as we go on and get closer to Yahshua's second coming. You know, a lot of people believe that they are a lot more than they are. And I'm not saying that Yahweh is not going to use people, okay, to lift us up. But he's not going to use people to divide you, okay? That's something Satan will do. But Yahshua does say that it's going to happen. So we just have to be prepared. You who are spiritual will be able to recognize. You're going to be able to see when Satan walks through the door. You'll feel it. You'll know it. See? The difference between Yahweh's Holy Spirit and his spirit, they clash. You'll be able to understand exactly what I'm saying when you see it. When he speaks fair in verse 25, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, with lies. They're going to try to sweet talk you. His wickedness shall be openly showed before the assembly. It's going to be evident. You who are spiritual will be able to see it. Whoever digs a pit shall fall into it, and he who rolls a stone, it shall return upon him. A lying tongue hates those whom it has wounded, and a flattering mouth works ruin. And none of Yahweh's people are doing this. You understand? When this happens, you can recognize the people by their fruits. You know when people are railing against you, your worship, your ministry, that they are Satan. When they're trying to destroy what you're trying to build. Okay? There's a motive. And their motives are very evident among you who are spiritual. You'll be able to see it. Ecclesiastes 8. I'm going to speed this up. Taking too much time. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1. It says, who is as the wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine, and the hardness of his face is changed. I counsel you, keep the king's command, and that in regard of the oath of Elohim. Be not hasty to go out of his presence. Persist not in an evil thing, for he does whatever pleases him. And this is Yahweh we're talking about. For the king's word has power. Are we hasty to leave the presence of Yahweh? No. when we're worshiping and we're having a great time, we want to be there. You know? We want to be there as long as it takes. We love Yahweh. We love praising Him. I love hearing you guys sing. Wonderful. That's something that we need to do. Like I said, we were created for the praises of Yahweh. That's our purpose. And not all of us, you know, sing, you know, have beautiful voices. But you know what? We can all make a joyful noise. We can all give praise to Yahweh. And we don't always have to sing. We can come up and read a song. We can give glory to Yahweh, you know, in prayer. We can do whatever it takes to draw ourselves closer to Yahweh. It says in verse 4, "For the king's word has power, and who may say to him, 'What are you doing?' Whoever keeps the commandments shall know no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerns time and judgment. For to every purpose there is a time and judgment." And that's what we have to, you know, understand. And you who are spiritual will know the time and judgment. You'll be able to see when it's time. You'll know when Yahshua is about to return. Because the misery of man is great upon him, for he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him how it shall be? There is no man that has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither has he power over the day of death, and there is no discharge in war, neither shall wickedness deliver him that is given to it. Yet people believe that they have these powers. And I'm not just talking about the ones that follow, what is it, Harry Potter. You know, there are a lot of wizards out there, or people who study the dark arts, you might say, and they think they have power. But they have no power over you. See, because you who are spiritual, Yahweh is the one that gives you your power. And He gives you the power over darkness and over Satan. And the things of Satan. That's why we don't fear. We don't fear any of that. Just tell Satan, get behind me, Satan. You use the power that Yahweh has given you through your Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. The words, our words are life. That's what it said in John. The words are spiritual, they're life. So that we use that life to become more spiritual. It's going to build the Holy Spirit within us so that when Yahshua returns, we have that power to rise up and meet Him in the air. Verse 9, it says, "All this have I seen and applied my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man has power over another to his hurt. So I saw the wicked buried, and they came to the grave, and they that had done right went away from the holy place and were forgotten in the city. This also is vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner does evil 100 times and prolongs his days, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Elohim, that fear before Him, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before Elohim. Don't be hasty to go out of Yahweh's presence." Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 4, Proverbs 28:4, it says, "They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men understand not justice, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things." And you who are spiritual do. And the reason you understand it is because Yahshua has given us an example. He's given us his plan. He's shown us how to overcome this wicked system and this wicked world and wicked people. And we do it through his word and through righteousness. When Satan came on to Yahshua, when he was tested, he quoted scripture. How did Yahshua respond? With scripture. He corrected it. He used it in the proper context. People use scripture out of context all the time to try to get you. Oh, yeah, they'll come after you with the word, but it's not going to be correct. And that's why we're supposed to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. And the word of Yahweh is good, brother, because it shows us here. It says, whoever keeps the law is a wise son, in verse 7. Better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. But he that is a companion of gluttons shames his father. He that augments his substance by interest and increase gathers it for him that has pity on the poor. That's who's going to receive it. Even though the wicked man might collect it, he might be out there putting it together, he might be building his treasure, but guess what? That treasure is going to be given to the righteous. The word of Yahweh says it. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So we aren't those that are turning our ears away from hearing the law. We're here. We want to know the law of Yahweh. We want to be taught. We want to be corrected. And the word of Yahweh will continually correct you. And Proverbs chapter 15, if you turn over there, verse 28. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eye rejoices the heart, and good tidings make the bones fat. In verse 8 of chapter 15, it says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to Yahweh, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. He delights in his people, brethren. He delights in our prayer. And he wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him, because he wants to answer our prayer. And he does. He hears the prayers of the righteous, and he will answer them. This is not really a scripture that I have in my thing, but I'm going to turn to it real quick, and I'll just... Psalm 34, verse 19. Very familiar scripture to all of us. Let's start in verse 18. Well, 17. The righteous cried, and Yahweh heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. Not some of them, all of them. Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. He knows what's in our hearts, brethren. You who are spiritual, he is there for you. And he says in verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Not some of them, them all. We have to keep this. This is something that Yahweh has given us. We have to put it into practice in our life. We have to trust him, because he's telling us that he's going to do it for us. Psalm 119. I have a couple more scriptures and I'm done. And we can eat, because I know everybody's hungry. Trust me, I'm starving. Psalm 119, verse 1, it says, blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Yahweh. Blessed are they that keep his testimony, that seek him with the whole heart. Yes, they do know unrighteousness. They walk in his way. You have commanded us your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. And truly, that's what our purpose is, to do Yahweh's commandments and to praise him. Oh, that my ways were established to observe your statutes. Then shall I not be put to shame when I have respect to all your commandments. I will give thanks to you with the uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgment. I will observe your statutes, so forsake me not utterly. Almighty Yahweh is speaking a spiritual people. And we have to fulfill that calling. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 14. Zechariah chapter 8, 14 to 17. It says, "For thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought to do evil to you, when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you every man the truth with his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you devise evil in your hearts against your neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says Yahweh." Now, if we speak the truth to our neighbor, it shows Almighty Yahweh that we are his spiritual people. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 1. "Brethren, even if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual," he's talking about you, "restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you also be tempted." So if one of us falls, if we sin, we're supposed to look to that person and help them, because they need help. We don't come down on them like a ton of bricks, cast them away. What we want to do is, we who are spiritual, we're supposed to restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking to yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, brethren. This is what Yahweh is telling us to do. And so fulfill the law of Messiah. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each man prove his own work, and then shall he have his glorying in regard of himself alone and not of his neighbor. See, that's what the Pharisees wanted. They wanted to walk around like peacocks with their phylacteries and their prayer shawls and their long zitzits. And I was telling Marilyn this before. They wanted to be seen of men. They wanted the praise of men. We want the praise of Yahweh. You who are spiritual will receive the praise of Yahweh, because he is the one that we want to praise us. We don't want men to praise us. We want Yahweh to praise us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we're looking for. "But each man shall bear his own burden. But let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." What does the scripture say there in Proverbs? If you roll a stone, it's going to roll back on you. You dig a pit for somebody else, you're going to fall in that pit yourself. If we're doing the right things, if we're being righteous servants, we're not going to try to do something negative to our neighbor. Remember, it tells us not only are we supposed to love our neighbor, we're supposed to love our enemy. The golden rule is there for a reason. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The way you treat others is the way you want to be treated. And this is what Yahweh wants from us. You who are spiritual are going to practice these things. because truly you want to be Yahweh's servant, and you want to be there when Yahshua returns. And when he calls you up, you want to be able to hit him in the air. It says, "For he that sows to his own flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life." And that's what we want, brethren. That's our goal. We want eternal life. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So then, as we have opportunity, let us work for that which is good toward all men," not some, "all men, and especially them that are of the household of faith." And our closing passage is in 1 Peter 4, kind of where we started. First Peter 4, verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of a sound mind, and be sober to prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sins." And it does, brethren. It does. "Using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each has received a gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahweh. If any man speaking as it were the oracles of Yahweh, if any man ministering as of the strength which Yahweh supplies, that in all things Yahweh may be glorified through Yahshua the Messiah." And that's what we hope, that Yahshua is going to be glorified by each and every one of us, because we want our praise coming from Yahweh, not from men, whose glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Almighty Yahweh is seeking a people who is spiritual. And he wants that spiritual people to be prepared for the day when Yahshua returns, so that they can be a part of the kingdom which is soon to come on this earth. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. I'd like you to come up and close with a word of prayer.
Almighty Yahweh, thank you so much for allowing us to be here to hear your word, spoken from those who know it well and are learning themselves but are teaching at the same time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of each other's lives, the encouragement that we give to one another, the spiritual things that come from you that we say to one another, that allow them to, those persons to be uplifted and to forge ahead and endure. In these times of trouble that may be coming soon, we ask that you stay with us by our side, give us comfort. We ask that your Spirit be more within us, that we may be stronger with your help, that we may forge ahead till when you call us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day, and we ask that the fellowship till the end of the day is edifying, and each person speak to one another as if they were speaking to you, Yahshua, that we all might be edifying in that conversation, and that we all might be blessed. In Yahshua Messiah's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.